Have you ever been in a situation where everything was going your way? You just felt so proud of yourself, and maybe you felt such confidence. But then something happened that just absolutely deflated you, just knocked you down. Maybe you were in a public setting. Maybe you were walking up onto a stage to accept an award, and you tripped on the steps. There are lots of YouTube videos of people humiliating themselves in the moment of celebrating a victory. Dr. James Dobson told about a friend of his during their days in medical school. This was in the early 1960s. One day his friend was walking across campus in a suit, and he was carrying books in a briefcase. He passed by a fast food stand on the campus, and he ordered something to eat, and he ordered a milkshake to drink. He balanced all of it on top of his briefcase. Then he began looking around for a table to sit at. While he was looking for a table, being suave and debonair, he decided to take a sip of his milkshake. And so without looking, he just bent his head down, and the straw went right up his nose. He was immediately embarrassed, but he thought that if he straightened up, the straw would stay in the shake. But when he should have gotten the extra thick shake. The milkshake dripped all down the front of his suit. You know, there are some moments when we just find it impossible for us to maintain our confidence. How much confidence do you have in yourself? How many times have you let yourself down? Some people have little or no confidence in themselves. Some people are very much overconfident in themselves. We're familiar with the warning in Proverbs 16, verse 18, which says, "Pride goes before a destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." The contemporary English version simply says, "Too much pride will destroy you." To use our word this morning, we might say overconfidence will destroy you. Too much confidence breeds arrogance. In Luke 18, verses 9 through 14, a familiar text tells us that to some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, "God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get." But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." Jesus says, "I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." Sometimes we have too much confidence in ourselves. Sometimes we have too much confidence in other things. People often put their confidence in other people, who often let them down. People put their confidence in power. They put it in pleasure, in science, in philosophy, in government. And eventually, these things always let them down. Because nothing temporal, nothing of this world has ever proven to be 100% trustworthy. Nothing has ever proven to be 100% worthy of our confidence. In the last letter written by the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy 1, 8 through 12, which Brent read just a moment ago, Paul said, "Do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am, yet this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed and am persuaded or convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. The Amplified Bible renders verse 12 like this: I know whom I have believed with absolute trust and confidence in him and in the truth of his deity. Now it continues after that, but I'm just focusing on that part. God's Word translation says, it is for this reason that I suffer these things, but I am still full of confidence because I know whom I have trusted, and I am sure that he's able to keep safe until that day what he has entrusted me. Paul's confidence was in God. He said, I am full of confidence because I know whom I have trusted. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 in the New International Version tells us that faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Faith is confidence in the reality of something we cannot see. Faith is confidence in the reality of something unseen. But unseen is not the same as unreal. Nowhere does the Bible teach that faith is believing in things for which there is no evidence. I'm going to read a few Bible passages which show that Christ expected people to believe in him based on evidence. Mark 2, verses 1 through 12, we're told that Jesus entered Capernaum and the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above by digging through it and then lowered the mat that the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts, and he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to this paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take up your mat, and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." The man got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." Jesus was saying, "You don't believe that I can forgive a man's sins? I'll miraculously heal this man of his physical infirmity, and that will be proof that I can forgive his sins. I will provide the evidence so that you may believe." In John chapter 5, verse 36, Jesus said, "The very works that I do bear witness of me that the Father has sent me." Again, the Amplified Bible says it this way: "The very same works that I am now doing, that is, the miracles and the proofs of my deity, testify about me by providing evidence that the Father has sent me." John chapter 10, verses 22 through 25, we're told that then came the feast of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple courts walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews who were there gathered around him, saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I did tell you, but you do not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me." And then in John 10, verses 31 through 38, we're told that on another occasion, his Jewish opponents picked up stones to stone him. But Jesus said to them, I have shown you many good works from the Father. For which of these do you stone me? We are not stoning you for any good work, they replied, but for blasphemy, because you, a mere man, claim to be God. Jesus answered them, Is it not written in your law, I have said you are gods? If he called them gods to whom the word of God came, and scripture cannot be set aside, what about the one whom the Father set apart as his very own and sent into the world? Why then do you accuse me of blasphemy because I said I am God's son? Do not believe me unless I do the works of my Father. But if I do them, even though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I in the Father. In Luke 7, verses 18 through 23, John the Baptizer called his disciples, two of his disciples, and sent them to Jesus to ask him a question. Beginning in verse 20, we read, When the men came to Jesus, they said, John the Baptizer sent us to you to ask, Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else? At that very time, Jesus cured many who had diseases, sicknesses, and evil spirits, and gave sight to many who were blind. So he replied to the messengers, Go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me. In each of these cases, Jesus is saying, Look at the evidence. Believe in me. Place your confidence in me, trust in me, based on the evidence. Ultimately, God is asking us to trust what he tells us about things we are not yet in a position to verify, because he has shown us that his character is perfectly dependable. Everything we've seen teaches us to trust what God says about anything we have not seen. Hebrews chapter 11 records several examples of those who put their confidence, their trust in God, based on knowing God's character, while not knowing precisely what God was going to do. Hebrews 11, beginning in verse 7, we're told, By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. Verse 8, by faith Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as an inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. The text goes on to say more about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses and others who, based on past evidence and future promises, acted as if they were present realities because they had faith, they had confidence in God who made the promises. Consider just two more verses in that chapter. Hebrews 11, verse 29. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. How much faith did it require to walk down into that seabed, to march across the floor of the Red Sea with water standing up like a wall on each side of you? Verse 30 says, By faith the walls of Jericho fell after the army had marched around them for 7 days. How much faith did it require to approach and walk around this fortified city that was filled with armed enemy warriors? How much confidence in God did it require for these people to march around this city once each day for 6 days and 7 times on the 7th day, just based on God's promise? Do you believe in God? Do you trust God? Do you have confidence in God? Our faith in God needs to be more than just some philosophical mindset that says we believe certain things that the Bible teaches. Our faith in God needs to be much more than just saying we believe Jesus is the Son of God, and we believe Jesus was born of a virgin. We believe he performed miracles. We believe he was raised from the dead. We need to have a faith in God that is both real and active. We need to have a faith in God that affects our lives, our choices, our relationships, our attitudes, our behavior. We need to put our confidence in God Himself. We need to believe everything He says to us, enough to obey Him and to take whatever risks may be involved in being obedient to Him. We need to have enough faith in Him in the workplace so that we will do what is right even when the pressure is there to do what is wrong. We need to have enough faith in Him to do what is right in school. We need to have enough faith in Him to choose to do what is right in relationships, even when we know it's going to cost us. There are numerous instances of people in the Bible who chose to put their confidence in God, who chose to put their trust in God when all the circumstances told them to make a different choice. We can think of Abraham sacrificing Isaac. We can think of David confronting Goliath. Daniel praying openly under threat of being cast into a den of lions, and other examples. But I want to call our attention to one example that stands out among the other ones simply because we're given more insight into the thinking of the people involved. In Daniel chapter 3, we read of three Jewish men, three Hebrews, who showed what true faith in God looks like. They showed the real meaning of trust in God. We read in verse 1, King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold, 90 feet high and 9 feet wide, and he set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. He called together all the officials in his administration, the satraps, the prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the other provincial officials assembled for the dedication of the image. He commanded them that when they heard the musical instruments begin to play, that they were to bow down before this image of gold. And then in verse 6, they were told, "Whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace." Well, everybody fell down and worshiped, except for three Hebrew men named Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Because of their disobedience, they were brought before the king, and King Nebuchadnezzar graciously gave them one more opportunity to bow down. And he repeated the threat of throwing them into a blazing furnace if they did not bow down. We read their response beginning in verse 16. We're told that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, "King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this manner. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it. And he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up." These men had complete confidence that the king was not bluffing. These men were fully confident that they would be thrown into the furnace. And these men were also fully confident in their God. In Matthew 10, verse 28, Jesus said something that these men epitomized. Jesus said, "Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell." These three men had enough confidence in God that they lived out that choice. We need to learn to trust God. We need to have confidence in God for how things are going to work out in the future if we will only obey Him in the present. In Matthew 6, verses 25 through 34, Jesus said, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Where does your confidence lie?